Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Esteemed listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, and our esteemed listeners of Sirius FM, we welcome you to this, our fiqh program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madahib al-Arba'a, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought, on this day, the 28th of Sha'ban, 1443, corresponding to their Gregorian calendar, the 31st of March, 2022. Our focus is on Ramadan, special Ramadan program. We welcome our Honorable Mufti Saab, who alhamdulillah is currently connecting with us in PE during his Port Elizabeth tour. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Maulana Zaid Khan. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Yusuf Asmal, and our brother Suleiman Esop. Shukran jazilan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, a quick update on the Port Elizabeth tour.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد all praise is due to Almighty Allah the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Alhamdulillah I read Asr Salat Day in Johannesburg Airport and we departed around 4:30. The plane was three-quarter half empty, so I had three seats for myself. So it was very, very comfortable. Around 5:45, 5:50 we landed, and about 6 o'clock we were out. So Hafiz Ismail Ayub Pirbhai, his father was a very, very famous Hafiz here in PE, and Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus, Hafiz Ayub Pirbhai. So Hafiz Ismail and myself, we studied there together in Karachi, and our honorable Ustad was Hazrat Mufti Abdul Salam Sahab of Bangladesh, Rahimahullah. Hazrat used to teach us after Asr, Asr to Maghrib, just the two of us, you know. Subhanallah, wonderful moments that we treasure. Allah grant Hazrat Mufti Abdul Salam Sahab, highest stages in Jannatul Firdaus. So he was there at the airport here in PE. There were four planes. Two were passenger planes and two were cargo planes. So you can see the airport also was not busy at all. And thereafter Hafiz Salim I met also. Hafiz Salim studied there at Alum. He became Hafiz there. Hafiz Salim Ali, known as Hafiz Salim Banju. Then we came here, mashallah, where I am speaking to you now, right opposite the beach here, mashallah. Wonderful scenery, weather very nice and cool, everything good. And then we read our Maghrib Salat and thereafter meals and thereafter freshened up. And then I went to the Darul Uloom here, the Masjid Abu Bakr Siddiq. The Darul Uloom Mikbah, there's no real students there. So Allah Jalla Wala make easy, it can be revived again. And anyway, then we had a program for over an hour. I spoke about what events and incidents took place in our golden history during the month of Ramadan. And then this morning, mashallah, that after my program in the morning, then we went with Hafiz Salim here to the masjid here, Masjid Aziz in Pier Street. And it was established in 1900. It's the oldest masjid in PE. And this is the masjid Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Desai Sahib Hafizahullah. I don't know if you know, in the early 70s, the apartheid government wanted to demolish it and build a highway. But Allah's help, Allah's fazl, Maulana went to court and so forth and won. And masjid still stands and the highway is still suspended just like that. So that is a karamat of Hazrat Maulana. Allah give him jazai khair for all the great work and great sacrifices making for the deen of Islam. So inshallah, then after this, we'll go for Zuhr Salat there to Masjid al-Fuqara and I'll meet Hazrat there inshallah. And thereafter that, in the evening Asr time, after Asr, I'll go to Utenaik. Mohan Nadim Khan is there. He's our graduate from Darul Newcastle. So between Maghrib and Isha is our program. And tomorrow after Fajr again in Masjid al-Aziz in Pier Street. And thereafter Jumma will be in the Humphreys Masjid, inshallah. Humphrey Street Masjid. So that is our program for PE. Allah Jalla Wala make it easy and accept it and make it a means of hidayat, alhamdulillah.
Ameen, ameen. Mufti Saab, what's a good dua to read from now till Ramadan starts?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So now we got few days left, few hours left till the month of Ramadan. So we should read three du'as. Dua number one, we should read, Allahumma barik lana fi Shaban wa balighna Ramadan. Oh Almighty Allah, Jalla wala, bless us, give us barakah during these days and hours of Shaban. We use the word barakah, blessing. But what is the real meaning? Al-ashya'ul qaleela wal-manafi'ul kathira. Now you look at the days. We know that Saturday night will be Ramadan, inshallah, and Sunday will be the first fast. So today is already Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So few hours left, few days left, ya Allah, but let us do lot of things. And many people can benefit, we become an asset to humanity and society and the communities. So that is barakah, and everything done in the halal way. Al-ashya'ul qaleela wal-manafi'ul kathira. So that is the definition of barakah. Allahumma barik lana fi Shaban wa balighna Ramadan. Oh Almighty Allah, then you spare us for the month of Ramadan. How many a person we know, he or she had hopes, aspirations, this Ramadan I will do this, I will do that, but they gone, they passed away. Allah give Jannatul Firdaus. So that's the first dua. We should read the dua in Mishkan Sharif. Second dua, remember that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us in Kanzul Ummal and Tabarani. And that is, Allahumma sallimna li Ramadan. Ya Allah, you spare us for Ramadan. No accident, no mishap, and so forth. And Ya Allah, that we sallim Ramadan alana. And that you spare Ramadan for us. You protect Ramadan for us. There must be no controversy and regarding the moon and other controversies that are unnecessary and so forth and so on. So in that way there, inshallah, that Almighty Allah make it easy for us, inshallah. وَسَلِّمْ رَمَضَانَ لَنَا وَسَلِّمْهُ لَنَا مُتَقَبَّلًا. And Ya Allah, whatever good speech, good actions we do, you accept it in your court, O beloved Allah. So that is what we should do. Third one, whatever little but we are doing, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a genius, linguist par excellence, and a great, great sahabi, and Fatih Khaybar. So he used to say, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ إِنَّمَا فَحَصَرْ أَنْ قَصَرْ. That only exclusively Allah will accept from people who have taqwa and true piety. So what is the meaning of that? It means that always, every day, that one is to do the action, and one is to beg Allah for qabooliyat, acceptance in His Divine Court. He said to beg Allah for acceptance is more important than the action itself. So there's little bit we are doing in our life in Shaban than in Ramadan. So every day read, Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka anta sami'ul alim. O Allah, accept on our behalf, verily you are all hearing, all knowing. So these are the three du'as we should be reading, and Allah Jalla wa'ala make it easy for us and the Ummah and Muslimah throughout the world. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen.
Mufti Saab, with regards to the moon, maybe Mufti Saab can just give us a few rules with regards to the moon.
Remember that tomorrow is the 29th of Shaban. 29th of Shaban in Makkah, Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara, Majlul Aqsa, 90% of the world, and so forth. And what will happen is this, that tomorrow night, tomorrow evening, we should scan the sky. But the chances of seeing the moon in South Africa and in Africa and the whole world are very, very slim. In South Africa, it will be 9.5 hours, 10 hours or so in Cape Town. So almost zero chance of seeing it. And scientifically also, if you look at it, I send it out on the broadcast groups and so forth, that there is mentioned, nowhere can you really see it. Maybe, perhaps, they say in Hawaii and those countries, that also was some difficulty. So it shows if there's proper sighting and so forth, then everywhere in the world, or 99% of the world will have first Tarawih on Saturday night, and Sunday will be the first song. So we must do what we have to do. We have to fulfill our duty with beauty, and remember tomorrow night, because it doesn't mean in 9.5, 10 hours we say no, we must do that. So mu li ru'yatihi wa aftiru li ru'yatihi. The hadith is very clear in Bukhari, Muslim, and various compilations. We start our month with the sighting of the crescent, and we end the month also and start Shawwal, Eid al-Fitr with the sighting of the crescent. And if there's no sighting, then the next day obviously is 30th, and then the day after that is the beginning of the new Islamic lunar month. So that is the straightforward procedure. Now here there are 3-4 issues we should know. Number one is this. Today I mentioned to the brothers there in Pierce Street, and you could see from the body language, first time really in their life, they were hearing all these du'as. So many a time on several occasions we have mentioned that everyone, husband, wife, parents, children, Saturday evening look outside and you will see the moon, mashallah, because then it will be there 34 hours, 33 hours, depending where you are. So definitely you will see it is not a requirement now because automatically it's a first. But look at it and read the dua. Allahu Akbar. Hilalu khayrin wa rushdin. Ya Allah, make this new month, not only for Ramadan, for every Islamic lunar month, the beginning, that hilalu khayrin wa rushdin is mentioned in Abu Dawood. Ya Allah, hilal means the first 3 nights of the new moon. That is the richness, the beauty, the glory of the Arabic language. Every 3 nights, the name changes. And 14th night, Laylatul Badr, Qamar, the waxing and waning of the moon. So the increase, decrease. So that is the glory, beauty of the Arabic language. So Allahu Akbar, hilalu khayrin wa rushdin. Ya Allah, make this month a month of khayr and goodness for us, our families. Wa rushdin and righteousness. So that's the first dua. Second dua, which is authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, and we in South Africa, we must like read it, you know. We know kidnapping, hijacking, corruption, crime, all on the increase. Allahu Akbar. Allahumma hillahu alayna bil amni wal iman. Ya Allah, let the new moon loom upon us with safety, security, protect and preserve our iman and Islam with tawfiq. Ya Allah, you grant us tawfiq. What is tawfiq? Nabi Shu'aib alayhi salam said, wama tawfiqi illa billah, is the divine ability, divine capability, capacity Allah gives us to do actions and to say the right words at the right time, at the right place. So remember that that is the beauty of tawfiq. So at the beginning of the Islamic lunar month, we beg Almighty Allah wa tawfiq. Lima tuhibbu wa tarda, for those are things, actions and speech that you love and you are pleased with it. Rabbi wa rabbuk Allah. Ya Allah, you are my sustainer, nourisher, provider, and the sustainer, nourisher of the celestial creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. Allahumma hillahu alayna bil amni wal iman wal salamati wal islam wal tawfiq lima tuhibbu wa tarda, rabbi wa rabbuk Allah. The third dua mentioned on the authority of Ubadah bin Samit, he is buried there at Aqsa al-Mubarak, Palestine, today occupied Palestine. His honorable wife, Umm Haram, buried there in Cyprus. So he states the hadith in Musnad Ahmad, and there you will find Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and thereafter, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayr hadha shahr. Ya Allah, I beg of you, they are the best of this month. But better we read collectively, husband, wife, parents, children, our family, siblings, and grandparents, whoever, grandchildren. Allahumma inna nas'aluka khayr hadha shahr. Ya Allah, we beg of you the best of this month. So these 3 du'as are mentioned for the beginning of the Islamic lunar month. There's an added dimension to this, and this morning somebody asked the question. The question was posed that if the moon is sighted, for example, now it won't be sighted for this month, but academic discussion is good. So if the moon is sighted in Botswana, so we can say Botswana, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and so forth, and is not sighted in South Africa, then what happens? So you must remember our organization means that Hazrat Mawlana Ahmad Sadiq Desai Sahib, Hafizahullah, خوتين جمعية علماء خوتين دار الإيمان مركز الصحابة the voice of أهل السنة والجماعة we will accept from anywhere in southern Africa whether it's South Africa Zimbabwe Zambia Malawi or Botswana Lesotho Swaziland all these places Namibia and so forth and so forth Mozambique also I mentioned I think so as long as we have it what we call tariqun mujib reliable sources and according to Sharia they are acceptable so although there was no sighting in South Africa so that is what our fatwa is and we are saying that obviously other ulama other scholars organizations in South Africa they don't accept that so that is their prerogative we don't impose our view on them but we feel that especially according to the Hanafi school so this is 100% permissible and no Hanafi scholar will dispute that so then why do they do that they say they want to maintain the unity that's going on for many years so anyway we don't want to make a issue of it but it's an academic discussion because the question was posed this morning so I said let me just mention it now we are discussing about Ramadan and the crescent and the moon and so forth so that is where we stand but this year Ramadan inshallah the only problem if it comes it will come from Saudi Arabia because I don't know if you know Saudi Arabia's history and the moon in 1984 Let me give you certain facts. No one can dispute this. In 1984, remember that Ramadan fast, they only had 28 fasts. In Islam, you can have minimum 29 and maximum 30. You can't go 28, you can't go 31 collectively. So they had 28 fasts. Then the imams, they announced on that day that now tomorrow will be Eid and they made a mistake. Now imagine in the haram to make such a mistake and so forth. Then they said everybody must keep qaza. This was in 1984 Ramadan, 28 fasts only. 2004, 2000, that time there. So remember, Hajj was announced, proper date, everything. And it was, you must remember, the American elections and so forth, and it was the proper date, everything. Then they brought it one day forward. You must remember that. So after 3-4 days, they changed the date for Hajj. I was there, we know about that. So an absolute shame and disgrace, you must remember that. So again, don't be surprised if Saudi says that Friday night is first Taraweeh and Saturday first fast, because their moon Sam is there. Sometimes see the moon before the conjunction also. Conjunction means before the birth of the moon. So therefore, and we raised those objections. One day I was invited for a conference. I posed the question. So remember to the Grand Mufti of Saudi Arabia, and it's the same Mufti now, Grand Mufti, Mufti Al-Am. So Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Abdullah Ali Sheikh, you can't ask directly, you have to write it down. So I posed the question, explain to us how the moon works. So he says 8-9 months of the year we don't sight the moon. His words, I quote to you verbatim, he says, Laysa fiha ahkam. So when they see the moon for Ramadan, then for Shawwal, then for Zulhijjah. So these 3-4 months, and that you can add maybe Shaban. So there they see the moon. You must remember that. Otherwise, he himself said there's no sighting. And then once I went with the delegation, you must remember, the UK delegation to go and see how they do sighting. So on 8 or 7 places they have, so in Mecca, Medina, or Tabuk, and Riyadh, and these places. So they go in a mountain. So we went in Mecca, and from there, through the telescope and all that, they do the sighting. So that's how they do sighting there. So this are all first-hand information, not from our pocket or something. So we hope and pray that sanity prevails, and inshallah, that we all start on Saturday night according to the Sharia, and not according to our woman. Fancies and desires.
Mufti Sahab, before we get to the Islamic terminologies with regards to fasting and that there are new Muslims listening, and what advices can Mufti Sahab give for the new Muslims?
MashaAllah, for us it's an honor, and it is only the fadl and mercy of Allah. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah granted him the biggest, mightiest, most magnificent kingdom, chapter number 32. 38 verse 35, Rabbi habli mulkalla yambaghi li ahadim min ba'di. O Almighty Allah, grant me the magnificent kingdom you will not grant anybody after me. Innaka antal wahhab. Verily you are the best of givers. Then this dua, he begged and petitioned and beseeched Almighty Allah after reconstructing Aqsa al-Mubarak, Masjidul Aqsa, as mentioned in Sunan Nasai. Fa'atahu iya, Allah granted him that. So we must remember when he was asked what he said, Haza min fadli Rabbi, this is the grace of my sustainer. So we must never attribute to ourselves, attribute everything to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So with Allah's fadl, Allah's grace, and we see Zulkarnain, he built the big wall and everything. And so that Ya'juj, Ma'juj, Gog and Magog cannot come cause mayhem, chaos, and carnage and anarchy. So he said, Hada rahmatum bi Rabbi, always enshrined in the noble Quran. So that is what we must say, Hada min fadli Rabbi, Hada rahmatum bi Rabbi. It is the mercy and the grace of Almighty Allah. And we must thank the capital group, Haji Muhammad Ikhlas, and the entire family, mashallah, they came on board. And thousands of people locally, nationally, internationally are benefiting. We must thank our Ansar directors as well. We must thank the regular Sirius FM, our Haji Fidel Asmal, his beloved son Yusuf Asmal, all of them. Because of them, thousands of people are benefiting. So you see, in the morning, yesterday also, a brother embraced Islam. So all of you who embrace Islam, make a note of this, whether you're in South Africa, Africa, any other country, city, continent of the world. So make two notes. Number one is this, you made the right choice. Chapter number 8, verse number 38. Chapter 8, Surah 8, verse 38. قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِيَّنْتَهُ يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. When a non-Muslim embraces Islam, Allah Jalla Wala's Rahma, mercy, succumbs and says, and Allah Ta'ala's mercy comes to that person, especially also, that the sins he committed against Allah, Allah forgives it. Allah's mercy comes to him, or her for that matter. And remember that the sins, obviously what they owe people, all that, that they have to do. So he's like a newborn baby. And Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam expounding, explaining it further, إِنَّ الْإِسْلَامَ يَهَدِمُ مَا كَانَ قَبْلًا. So Islam erases and expunges the sins of the past. It's authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad, and so forth and so on. So you, my new brother, new sister in Islam, in faith, this is what you should know in all parts of the world. So Saturday night, inshallah, will be Ramadan beginning. So if you remember in Arabic, English, whatever, you say, Hilalu khayrin wa rushdin. Oh, Almighty Allah, make this month of Ramadan a month of khayr and goodness, wa rushdin and righteousness. And then you read your Maghrib Salat, you pray your Salat, and you then going to read Isha Salat, and then the Sunnah and 2 rakats, and then the Taraweeh 20 rakats, and then Witr. Now all this might be seeming very confusing for you, and you don't even know surahs or chapters. So what you must do is this, learn these 4 words, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar. Easy. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar. So if you just say that, or you just say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah also, because you don't know much about Islam. So when you pray, just keep on reading that. Learn the postures. You stand, then you go into the bowing position, ruku. You stand up again, then you go into the prostrating position twice, and then you will stand up, so like that. So you learn all these postures and positions and so forth, but you must make a concerted effort. Tell that Muslim brother, Muslim sister to write down for you the transliteration. The first surah chapter you must learn is Surah Fatiha. So they will write down for you A-L-H-A-M-D-U, Alhamdu, then Lillahi, that's transliteration. And then every day you must learn. So like that you learn, remember, Surah Fatiha, the opening chapter, chapter 1. You must learn it by heart. That's first. Thereafter, you must learn two more surahs, two more chapters. Well, Asri inna a'tayna is very easy, so you can learn that too. And chapter 103, chapter 108. Then you learn chapter another two, so that'll make it four. For example, Qul huwallahu ahad and Qul a'udhu bil falaq, for example. So minimum, you learn five surahs, five chapters. So you learn surah Fatiha and you learn the four other chapters. You learn it through transliteration, and in that way there, then you start learning the Arabic alphabet and so forth and so on. So you must make some time daily to start learning, because consistency is the key. Then will come the time for fasting. Now I'm in Port Elizabeth. So yeah, remember, by the time the fasting starts, it will be 5 o'clock. All right? So for time will start, fasting time, 5 o'clock. And by the time the end of will be around 6:15 or so. So wherever you are, just ask the local Muslim, they must give you the perpetual timetable. So you will see where is written Sehri ends. So that means that the true dawn is going to start. Normally about 1.5 hour, 80 minutes before sunrise, depending on the season. So that is the fasting time. So before that, you need to wake up and you have the pre-dawn meal. And there you eat everything, you drink whatever you want to that is halal and permissible. And you should have dates. Why you should have dates at that time? Because the Prophet, peace be upon him, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ni'ma suhurul mu'min at-tamr." That the best suhoor pre-dawn meal is dates. And then when you made intention, you're going to fast everything, any language you make intention. Then when fasting time starts, no eating, no drinking, no husband-wife relationship, nothing like that and so forth. Right till sunset. And we will continue praying Zohar, Asr, all the five daily prayers. But after Isha, there will be the extra prayer, 20 units, 20 rakats, Taraweeh. So that is extra. That is where the Imam or Imams, they will read the entire Quran Sharif, the noble Quran from memory. So that is but extra, and you should try and ensure you partake of that as well. Iftar time, again, you'll have dates, then you have tea, you have samosa, you have bhajja, savories, whatever you want to, it's all fine. And that is what you should do. So the main thing for the non-Muslim will be, sorry, for the new Muslim, the non-Muslim who embrace Islam will be that they must just learn the basics. And Ramadan is a wonderful time. You have enough leisure time. So use the leisure time in the pleasure of Allah. But you must go to some Muslim also. Preferably the Imam or the Maulana, the Sheikh, the Mufti Sahib, Hafiz Sahib, to teach you. If you can't find, then just go to any Muslim and the basics they will teach you. You, my sisters, you should go to the Muslim sister. Now remember, whilst you are in your menses, you can't be fasting. Whilst you are in your postnatal, you can't be fasting. If you are breastfeeding or you're expecting, you're pregnant and you feel that it will cause much discomfort to you, so if you don't fast, that's acceptable. But in the other 11 months, qaza will be compulsory. Payment alone will not suffice. So these are all the basic issues you should learn, and in that way it will become a wonderful, wonderful Ramadan for you, my brother, sister, who just embraced Islam. When we were very, very young, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, we used to fight with our parents, and they'd fight me and argue, wake me up. They always felt that, no, you're so young and so forth. But every Muslim home, you will find that conflict goes on. The children are saying, but the parents know we weren't fast, that we just wake up because it's a nice feeling, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and then we partake, and then we fast till 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and break the fast. You see, so now when children break the fast, there's no qaza, because it is a trial run for them. So the parents, they'll say, okay, now is the 27th day of Ramadan, so you must keep a whole day. I will give you 5 rand. Today you give 5 rand, the children will say, I don't fast. You know how it is with the children today. But those days, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, it was a lot of money for us that time, because our spending was 5, 5 cents and 10 cents, 20 cents. So if they tell you, we'll give you 5 rand or something, so we used to fast. And we manage one fast, two fast, like that. So that's a training ground. So for all of you also who are new Muslims, so you must try, remember that, to fast the whole time and so. And your children also, encourage them and tell them, how many non-Muslims are telling us? The other day, the non-Muslim, it was Alfred, he said, I bought the Zamzam. I bought the Zamzam already. I bought the dates already. Now you tell me how much I fast. So isn't this a great mercy of Allah, that we speak and people get inspired and motivated, non-Muslims, and therefore the morning program, we try and accommodate maximum amount of non-Muslims, so they must get the true picture and image of Islam, not what they're seeing on the television, what they are reading and seeing on their cell phones and so forth, that Islam is being hijacked as being a terrorist religion and so forth and so on. Nay, we are the most sober people on this earth. Remember that we are the only people who have memorized our scripture, the noble Quran. Nobody else has done that. We are the most peaceful people in this world. But when you come and steal our land, our resources, and our oil and what have you, then the resistance will start. Al-muqawamatu mustamirra. That is our slogan. Al-muqawama mustamirra. Then the resistance will start. Whether it is, you must remember, in Syria, whether it's in Palestine, whether it's in Libya, whether it's in Afghanistan, or any other country for that matter. So we need to be clear on this issue, and there's no need to apologize to anybody.
Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you back to this program. Mufti Saab, the next question is, what is the meaning of the term fidya?
MashaAllah, fidya is mentioned in the Noble Quran in Surah 2, verse 184. Fidya means compensation, and this compensation means وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ تُعَامُ مِسْكِينَ. Only two categories, this word and this terminology is applicable to them. Those people who are very, very old and 80, 90, 100 years old, they don't have the energy, the stamina to fast, not in summer, winter, any time of the year, or people who are al-marizu da'im, chronically ill, and according to the prognosis of the doctor and medical fraternity, their chances of recovery are very slim, almost zero. So, and they can't fast, they're incapable of fasting the entire year, so they will pay 30 rand per day per fast. Not now, after Ramadan starts, they can pay for the whole month also 900 rand, and if they pay 1,000 rand, all the better. Those who are living in other countries, minimum you pay is $2 per day. So $60 for the whole month, that will be minimum. And the money must be given to poor, poor Muslims who are entitled to receive zakat. So that is the meaning of fidya. Only those people who are very, very old and don't have the energy. My uncle was 90 years old plus. He passed away last year on a Friday. He used to fast. 84 years of his life, he kept fast. SubhanAllah, he used to even keep Shaban fast and all that. So you must remember, it doesn't mean every old person. Old people who don't have the energy and strength and stamina to fast. And people, young or old, male or female, who are chronically ill, they cannot manage to fast. So for them, only is fidya. Lady is pregnant, breastfeeding, or in a haze, menses, postnatal, or the male is sick, he got flu, stomach ache, this ache, all that. So remember, in all those cases, qaza is compulsory and payment fidya will not suffice in those circumstances.
Mufti Saab, should a pregnant woman fast when she's experiencing vomiting during the morning sickness?
When the fuqaha have a term, they call it ra'yul mubtala bihi. Ra'yul mubtala bihi means we don't make a general statement and a sweeping statement and a general rule. We say the person involved. So whether it is the pregnant lady or whether it is the person traveling, I am traveling from here to Hong Kong or to Paris or to London. I'm just giving examples, obviously. So It all depends. And I used to travel a lot, mashallah, in Ramadan. And we used to fast all the time. My wife, I used to tell her sometimes she mustn't fast. Now 20 hours, 22 hours, difficult for them. So then they must keep qada. So we say, you, the person, you must use your own discretion. So let's take these two examples. You, my sister, you're pregnant. You're expecting. So if you fast, will there be discomfort, difficulty for you or the fetus, unborn baby? Some ladies, no problem for them. Other ladies, big problem for them. So you must remember, it all depends on the person. But qada will be compulsory if that lady did not fast. And if they don't fast, they must eat, they must drink everything, but not in public. It should be done discreetly. Regarding vomiting, all that, vomiting does not break the fast. Remember that when a person vomits unintentionally and inadvertently, then the fast is valid. So when does the fast break? Vomiting will break the fast when it is self-induced. That is, you put your finger in the mouth, you put a teaspoon in the mouth, and then you vomit, so then the fast will break. The hadith is clear in Mishkat, Bulughul Maram, Musnad Ahmad, Man istaqa'a fa alayhi al-qada. So the only time vomiting will break the fast is when it is self-induced. And that is the verdict of Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, irrespective of the amount. Hanafis say it must be self-induced, and another condition they have, and that is, you must remember, it must be self-induced and it must be mouthful. Hanafis only state mouthful condition, then it will break. So we should understand the things properly. Now you take Musafir. People traveling, me and Mona Zahid Khan, Damar Barakatum, we're traveling to Bloemfontein. Right? We went there, right? So now it's Ramadan. So we know it's 400 kilometers away, Cape Town 1,000 kilometers away plus. So in a case like that, I say I'm feeling it very difficult. So I don't fast. You say, me, yourself, you're not feeling it difficult, so you fast. So Sahaba say, لا يَعِبُ السَّائِمُونَ عَلَى الْمُفْتِرِينَ وَلَا يَعِبُ الْمُفْتِرُونَ عَلَى السَّائِمِينَ. When Sahaba were traveling with Mustafa, Habibuna, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some would be fasting, some would not be fasting, and no one would criticize the other. So that is what you call رَعْيُ الْمُبْتَلَى بِهِ, that you leave it to the discretion of the person. And when people are feeling sick, and so don't just break your fast, go to the doctor, take injection on your hand, on your buttocks, and so forth. That injection will not break the fast. So there are many, many ways, inshallah, that we should encourage people to fast as far as possible.
Mufti Saab, what is the meaning of Sadaqatul Fitr?
Sadaqatul Fitr, you will understand it like this. The hadith in Abu Dawood, Farada Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Zakatul Fitr, Sadaqatul Fitr, Tuhratul Lisa'imi min al-Laghwi wa Rafat wa Tu'matul Lil-Masakin. Sadaqatul Fitr is called Zakatul Fitr also. It's the same term with different names, but it means the same. And remember, it's compulsory according to all the jurists and so forth. So why is it compulsary? We're fasting, but we see things we're not supposed to see. We hear things we're not supposed to hear. We spoke things we're not supposed to utter and say. So this is a means of purification for the person who was fasting. And there are many, many Muslims who are very, very poor, destitute. So the day of Eid, they also want to enjoy. So remember, we give them that money, 30 rand, or we give them food and so forth, or clothing, or whatever. So in that way, before the day of Eid, so they can also make the necessary preparation and enjoy the day of Eid. لِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ عِيدٌ وَهَذَا عِيدُنَا. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every nation has the day of celebration, and our celebration is Eid al-Fitr. Quran Kareem teaches us, Surah 2, verse number 185, وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that you go out, you read your Eid Salat and perform it to thank Almighty Allah. So our celebration is not like the non-Muslim, wine, dine and swine. Nay, it is we go out and we pray. In PE, if you go there, Malabar on the one side, right in the corner, so out of town you will find the Eidgah there and so forth. So like that, every town should have, mashallah, Eidgah and so forth. So there you will find that the Muslim men, we go, we perform our Eid salat and so forth, to thank Almighty Allah, you gave us the tawfiq, the ability, capability, capacity to fast during the day and read Taraweeh salat during the night. So, Qawwamun bin Nahar, Qawwamun bin Layl, and we try to fulfill the laws which you commanded us to do according to the pattern method shown to us by Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mufti Sahib, during the first 10 days of Ramadan, are there any specific du'as to be read?
Remember, the hadith is mentioned in Sahih Ibn Khuzaimah. Yesterday, somebody sent me a query and said the one sheikh in Saudi Arabia or the Arab countries, he rejects this. I said, these are the Salafis. The Salafis, I repeat, of this day, of nowadays, majority of them, they're ignorant of Sharia. They think they know the Sharia, but they're ignorant. Take this here. The hadith is mentioned, you must remember, in Sahih Ibn Khuzaimah, the Rawi reporter is Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala an, and Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, awwaluhu rahmah. The first ashara, the first 10 days is special mercy of Allah. Second 10 days, the middle 10 days is maghfirah, the forgiveness from all material. Allah Jalla Wala, the Ashara Akhira, the last 10 days, Itkum Minan Nar, emancipation from the fire. One day I was in Medina Munawwara, Sheikh Huzaifi was rendering the khutbah. He quoted this whole hadith in Masjid Nabawi from the Mimbar on a Friday. I myself was present there. So anyway, some of the Salafis, they say, so no, this is lying, you can't quote this. So I pose one question to them. You know Imam Bukhari, Imam Muhammad bin Ismail, he said 100%, Rahimahullah, Amirul Mu'minin fil Hadith. He wrote Bukhari Sharif in 16 years. That same Imam Bukhari wrote Al-Adabul Mufrad. Adabul Mufrad is to do with fadail and virtues. So Sheikh Albani, Rahimahullah, gave me this book personally. So you must remember, he took Al-Adabul Mufrad and he made two parts of it. Sahihu Al-Adabul Mufrad and Da'ifu Al-Adabul Mufrad. Remove your blinkers and prejudice. What is Imam Bukhari trying to tell us? In Sahih Bukhari, we are discussing ahkam, we are discussing aqidah, we are discussing the most important issues. So there we bring sahih, authentic ahadith. But when it came to fadail, Imam Bukhari did not apply that stringent rules and regulations and conditions. So he was mutasahil, he became lenient. So he said that even weak ahadith will work. So if you're going to apply, your law is rejected, like what they say, a fadail a'mal of Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Nawar al-Murqadahu. So that is the question I pose to them, and till today no Salafi can answer it. You say you must take fadail amal, put one side. So I said, if we use that, then I must take the Dwa'ifu al-Adab al-Mufrad of Imam Bukhari with Sheikh Albani, whom you accept and you say was the greatest scholar in our time in Hadith. That's what the Salafis normally say. So then we must take that of Imam Bukhari and put it one side. He said, no, we can't do that. So I say, Sa Ama Tahkumun. You see, that is how you all work. We tangle you up in your own thing. So they don't understand or don't want to understand. So remember in Fadail, in Allama Nawawi, A'alamun Nas bi Madhabi Shafi'iyya. He wrote, you must remember, commentary of Sahih Muslim Al-Minhaj. He wrote Al-Arba'in. He wrote Riyadus Salihin. One of the greatest scholars of his time. So when he wrote the book, you must remember on du'as and that Kitabul Azkar, which I have by me. So you must remember, there's so many weak ahadith. So what is he telling you? In fadail, in virtues, you can use weak ahadith. That is the verdict of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Mufti Sahib, with regards to the Hufadh for Taraweeh, what advices can Mufti Sahib give for the Hufadh?
The first intention we should make is we reading the Taraweeh for the love and pleasure of Almighty Allah. Tell your beloved parents to make special dua for you. Kiss their hands. Go to your teacher. Kiss his hand. If he's far away, contact him by phone and so forth. And you know, today so many ways of contacting people. So tell them that please make dua. Give me permission when I stand on the musalla, I can continue with Taraweeh. Taraweeh is not small thing. You can just go blank. You must remember remember. You learn 5 times, 10 times, 20 times, and still you can forget. So it's only the fadl, the grace, the mercy of Almighty Allah. Second, don't try and impress people. They in lands, other places, and all that, you find some people, they tell me, we go this masjid, that masjid, we go here, there, all that. And all the towns, you will see 90%, 80%, it happens, most of them. That they'll say they want imam, he reads not Tarawih, he reads like a Ferrari, you know. So the one Baji, he sent me a message. He said that our imam, he goes so fast. That I said that it Baji means old man. So he says that Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. He said by the time imam finished, I'm almost falling. I have to wear seat safety belts now, you see. So obviously all that is not Tarawih now. That is just to play fools. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi hadith in Tirmidhi, swalli fa inna kalam tu swalli. The hadith is called Hadithul Musifi Salat, the person who did not perform Salat properly. So the problem is we want to show off and impress the people. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam set the precedent for humanity and posterity. Hadith in Ibn Majah. Now they're returning after Hajj. It is the night of the 14th. You know that the night is first, it precedes the day. So Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua to show us. Obviously, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hajj is accepted, all the actions are accepted. Allahumma ij'alha hajjatan, Ya Allah, Jalla wa la, make it such a Hajj, la riya'a fiha. It must not be done to impress the eyes of people, wa la sum'ah, nor the ears of people. It must be done, libtigha'i mardatillah, for the sake, for the pleasure of Almighty Allah, Jalla wa la. So that is my main message. And you, the Hafiz, Imam, don't just read Tarawih, walk away. Every day teach people a Sunnah. Sehri time to have date Sunnah. Ni'ma suhurul mu'mini at-tamr. Iftar time, Allah malaka sumtu wa ala rizqaka aftartu. Hadith Abu Dawood. The first hadith also Abu Dawood. Ya Allah, for your love I kept this fast. Wa ala rizqaka aftartu. On your risk I made iftar. There are other words also, but this is the easiest one. After the iftar, before the maghrib salat, ذَهَبَ الظَّمَأُ وَبَتَلَّتِ الْأُرُوقُ وَثَبَتَ الْأَجْرُ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ. That after the iftar, you ate your samosas, dates and samosas and batyas and tea and juice and water and what have you. So ذَهَبَ الظَّمَأُ, the thirst is gone. وَبَتَلَّتِ الْأُرُوقُ, and the veins have become moistened. وَثَبَتَ الْأَجْرُ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ, and the reward is established already. This Monday that passed, today is Thursday. So I read Salat there normally in Asr and Maghrib in Sufi Masjid. The one brother was sitting next to me. And then I see he took a date. And then after that, before the Maghrib Salat, he read Zahab al-Zamahu. So I remember that I was teaching them these duas and they were learning it. I felt so happy. I wasn't fasting. So he was fasting. So I said, Subhanallah, this brother doesn't know. He read few words loudly. I overheard him. It brought such joy to me because I taught him the dua. So you must remember that. That is when we learn one dua. Fattabi'uni, follow me, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, immaculately. Yuhbibukumullah, you become beloved to Almighty Allah jalla wala. Wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, and your sins will be forgiven. So zahaba dhama'u, the thirst is gone. Wa batallatil uruqu, the veins have become wet and moistened. Wa thabat al ajru, the reward is already established inshaAllah. So in that way there, mashaAllah, we also hadith in Abu Dawood. And one more hadith, then we finish inshallah, unless you got one important question left. And after witr, not only Ramadan, throughout the year, remember that what you should read, that after the witr, hadith in Sunan Nasai, authentic hadith, Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus, Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus, and the third time, Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus, يدوس رفع صوته ومد صوته. You prolong it and you read it loudly. So that's what we must teach our people every. And then some people after Witr, then they, especially Ramadan, they want to read two rakats. So if they read, is fine. And better not to read, but you read is fine. Don't stop the people. Then the hadith on the authority of Abu Umama radiallahu an, mentioned in Musnad Ahmad, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam read the two rakats ahyanan, occasionally, not normally. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam after Surah Fatiha read, Iza zulzilatil ardu zilzalaha in the first rakat, and Qul ya al kafirun in the second rakat. So see, everywhere we must teach the people the sunnah, which is authentic and good and so forth. So in that way, our iman increases and we make dua. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak, ya Allah, we beg of you for your love. Wa hubban nabiyyil Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the love of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa hubba ahlil bayt, and to love the family and household of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa hubba ashabin nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to love all the companions and students of the master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is iman ka taqaza. That is what our iman, our faith, conviction demands of us. Any questions still, Monona? Any important one?
Mufti Sahab, one question. Is it better for men to read the Witr in Jama'at or to delay it just before Fajr Salah?
In Ramadan, it's better to read with Jama'at. Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafai rashidin al-mahdiyin. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu appointed, you must remember, Ubay bin Ka'b as the imam, because he was a big khalisab, and they read 20 rakats and they read Witr in Jama'ah. So yes, other 11 months, then you read alone, and better to read tahajjud time after tahajjud. But Ramadan, you read with the imam, that is the best, because of the authentic hadith, follow my sunnah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah, and the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa, and his authentic hadith in Ibn Majah, Abu Dawood. So may Almighty Allah bless us and spare us for Ramadan.
Last question, should a woman pray in fours or twos?
The woman can read in twos and she can read in fours. Whatever is easy for her, she can do it. When we say fours, like how she read the Zohar Sunnats like that. After two rakats, she will read At-Tahiyyat and then stand up to the third rakat. So that's fine. Or also is acceptable. There's no problem. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.